the rest of the story. Frances was on her knees now, praying on her knees in front of the kitchen stove. "I don't know what else to do for my son," she whispered, "but the doctors don't seem to know either. It's a miracle he needs," Frances beseeched. "So now I'm asking, Lord, make me a miracle for him." The son in need of a miracle was Walter, age 15, a hard-working dishwasher, sometimes busboy at a local restaurant. His problem had started insidiously enough in an infected hangnail, but the infection had spread. Pretty soon, Walter was asking, "Ma, you think I have to see the doctor?" Frances took a look at the red, swollen finger and promptly declared that indeed he did. By the time Walter could get an appointment, the infection had spread even further. The family practitioner, obviously concerned, consulted a colleague. They consulted a surgeon. The finger was gangrenous, all agreed. And so advanced was this condition that the only solution was amputation. Frances was horror-struck. "Surely the doctors had made a mistake," she protested. "It was just an infection, after all. Didn't they have some medicine to fix it?" But the surgeon assured Frances that the gangrene had progressed to such an extent that they would be lucky to save her son's arm. "The sooner the operation was performed," he said, "the better." Frances said she understood and thanked the doctors. And she took Walter home. And later she asked him, "Dear, do you trust me?" And Walter nodded. "Do you believe God can heal you?" she asked. Her sense said, of course he did. And so quietly, almost solemnly, Frances put the clothing boiler on the gas range, filled it with fresh water, struck a match to ignite the burner, and then sank to her knees right there on the kitchen floor, and you know the prayer that she prayed for a miracle for Walter. And she had just said amen as the water came to a rolling boil. Frances beckoned the boy, took his arm, and plunged the arm into the boiling water up to the shoulder. Walter screamed. "It'll be all right," Frances said as calmly as she could. She then withdrew her son's arm from the clothing boiler, applied a poultice of milk and white laundry soap, and wrapped the arm in wax paper. "Your grandmother once told me about this," she said. "It's something they used to do in the old days." Frances reapplied the poultice every half hour for the next 4 days and nights, and on the fifth day, what do you know? Discharge began seeping from Walter's infected hand. Weeks would pass before the teenager could return to his restaurant job, but the infection was gone, and his hand was completely well. Well enough subsequently to win a scholarship to the Wisconsin College of Music. For there had been even more at stake, even more incentive than you may have imagined for Walter to keep all of his fingers. But now, whenever you remember the delight he brought to millions, I hope you'll recall also a mother kneeling before the blue flame of a gas range, praying that her son might go on to fulfill his destiny. Of course, you know Walter by his last name alone, Liberace. Only now you know the rest of the story.